In the early church, in those first 100, 200 years after the resurrection, they had a way of baptizing that was a little different than the way we baptize adults now. They would ask the one being baptized three questions. First question would be, do you believe in God the Father Almighty? And they would say, I do. And then they would plunge that person into the water. Bring them back out of the water. And the second question, do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Again, they would answer, I do, and be plunged back into the water. And then a third question, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life? And again, they would be plunged into that water. Now, the rest of this is conjecture, but my guess is then after that, they were said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and again, plunge them into the water. But the point I'm wanting to focus on is that being plunged into the water. What was that saying? What did it symbolize? It was symbolizing the fact that they were being plunged into the very mystery of the life of God. They had professed a faith in a God who is Father, who is Son, who is Holy Spirit. And they were being plunged into the reality of that mystery. It was now saying that their lives were to be caught up in this God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, this God who sent his Son to die for us, this God who has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Their lives are to be caught up with God's life. God's life was to dwell within them. On this Trinity Sunday, our first response, if we are aware of what all of this means, is gratitude. This God who did not need us, who does not need us, this God who is sufficient to him in himself, has chosen to share his very life with you and I. He has chosen to share that life in a way that is somewhat veiled right now. But we will understand fully when in eternity we are with God forever. God has chosen to give us the only life that does not come to an end. His own life. Sometimes I think we are unaware of this, or it seems like some kind of a fantasy or some kind of a dream, something unreal, because we are nourished most of the time by the wisdom of the world and not by the wisdom of God. You know, we spend great efforts in educating ourselves for whatever line of work that we might be doing. But do we spend time listening to the Word of God? Do we spend time in really prayer, times of silence? Do we read things that nourish our spirits? And if we are not doing very much of that, then what is it that really nourishes that hope that is within us? To be aware of the life of God in us, we must nourish that awareness. We must allow that awareness to grow and blossom within us so that we can become more and more conscious that we dwell in God, and God dwells in us, and that He has given us the gift of His Spirit. But if God's life is in us, and that life is always love, St. John teaches us in his first letter, God is love. So if that life which is love dwells within us, what is it going to be like in us? Well, if we're allowing that life to really be the thing that empowers and motivates us, then we are going to become persons who love. God's life cannot be in me if I am not loving. Because by its very nature, its very definition, the life of God is love. So therefore, I must be one who loves if I believe and if I say God's life is within me. We go to the gospel reading today. Jesus tells his first disciples, tells them to do three things. He says, go make disciples of all nations. Then he says, baptize them. And finally he says, teach them to observe everything that I have taught you. And then finally he makes a promise. I will be with you until the end of the age. That command was not just for those first disciples. It is a command that is for each and every one of us. We are to make disciples of Christ of all nations. And how do we do that? Not so much by our words, but much more by the deeds of our lives. Again, that love. If the love of God flows through me, if the love of God touches the world around me, because of the life of God that lives within me, then we will make disciples, because they will see God's love shining through us. And that is what we are called to do. To go out and make disciples, not just here, but of all nations. You know, we live in a time where it's kind of the accepted wisdom to say, well, you don't want to impose your beliefs on anyone. And so whatever they believe, that's fine, just let them be. But if I really believe that God desires to give his life to everyone, and if I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to that life, then the love that is within me is going to impel me to share that knowledge with other people. Somehow you and I are called to care for the salvation of all the world. We are called to be concerned whether people across the whole globe come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God desires to share his life with everyone. And if we believe the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. If we really believe that, then the love, the life of God which is within us, will impel us to try to share that life with others by making them disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, disciples, not so much through our words, but much more through the quality of our love. In the new translation of the Mass, there's an ending which I like very much, but I can never remember it when the time comes. It says, "Go and announce the gospel of the Lord." That's rather in place of the "go in peace." Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. That's what you and I are called to do. Back around the year 2000, I don't remember the exact date, Pope John Paul II wrote a pastoral letter on Sunday. And in that letter, he had just a little paragraph saying that we need to re-study, to reappreciate the dismissal rite of the Mass. You know, sometimes we just tend to use it as, well, it's over, let's go. But in its original meaning, it was, we are dismissed to announce the gospel of the Lord to the world around us. What we have received as gift in our celebration of Eucharist, we are to share as gift to our brothers and sisters in the world in which we live.